What are you going to accomplish for God this semester, next summer, in 10 years? Where are you going to be in 10 years? I've been at the same church for 35 years. Some people say, what's the key of staying 35 years? Having no other place to go. But what are you going to be? What's going to happen? What's God going to do in you this semester? What's God going to do this coming summer, next summer? What's God going to do in 10 years? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. We see here that Paul is talking. He's ending up the book of Corinthians here. The book of Corinthians has been a tough book. People very carnal. And here he's ending up and having to restate the gospel in a powerful way. And he's saying some things here. And he just says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. And verse 3, second part of verse 3. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He arose, and that He was buried, and He rose the third day. And then He says He was seen of Peter, and He was seen of the 12, and He was seen of 500. They had to prove it. It really happened. And they had to say this. And then of James, and then of all of the apostles. And then verse 8 is my key verse for this point. And last of all, he was seen of who? Of me. Also, as one born out of due time. Why do we spend our time accomplishing? Why do we sacrifice our lives? Why do we lose our lives in serving Jesus? Why do we not deny ourselves on this earth? Why? Because number one, I'm claimed by Jesus. I'm claimed by Jesus. We see here that Paul was saying that he says, now the point is here, the gospel is given in verses 3 and all the in 3 and also through there, the gospel is stated. Then it's stated that he arose from the dead in verse 4 and that he realized, wow, this is something. So it's the gospel, it's supernatural gospel, and then it saved all these people, the 500 and all of that in verses 5 to 7. But the most important part is this supernatural gospel saved Paul. He saved me in verse 8. In verse 8, it was me that he claimed me. He saved me. He forgave me. And it's very important that we grasp that and realize that this is so important today that I've been forgiven. I'm driven because I'm forgiven. And that's so, so important that we catch that and realize, wow, this is great that I have got this and God's moving in my life. And we need to never forget that we're forgiven. And we need never forget that it thrills our soul. And it's something that don't take your salvation for granted. It is something. The people in Houston, they don't have any chairs or any couches or any beds. Have you seen the pictures? They're dumping everything in the front yard, everything. Some of them don't even have houses left. And let me tell you, do you think they appreciate their house more? They do. And you realize, well, my daughter had to flee from Florida. She flew up to Elkhart, Indiana yesterday. The hurricane's coming. And she went to a store to buy water. There was no water. There was no bread. Let me tell you, when you go to a store and there's no water and bread, you appreciate water and bread. I want you to appreciate your salvation, that you've been forgiven, and that the joy is there, the thrill of it is there, the wonder of it is there, the wonder of it all, the eclipse of the sun and the moon. Wasn't that something? People drove to this little stretch of country just to see 2 minutes. 2 minutes, spent thousands of dollars. Stayed right there, and it got dark for 2 minutes. They went crazy, and then it got light again. Now, where I live, you didn't even know it happened. did it do anything here? You know, got a little dim, a little eerie. I was disappointed. You know, I bought my glasses, you know. But the thrill of just being there. When you're playing sports, the volleyball team, when you're playing sports and you're winning all the time, is there a thrill? There's a wonder. There's wow. But when you're losing, you're still doing the same thing. You're still putting your heart into it. You're still doing your best. Let me state this. In a sport, if you are doing your best, you're a winner. I need another amen. You're a winner. And sometimes you need to keep thrilled about your salvation. That He claimed you. That He saved you. And that it is something that you should just never get over. Because how can we sacrifice our whole lives if we lose the thrill and the wonder of it all? You just sang How Great Thou Art. And in the third stanza, let me read it to you. Don't ever let this become something that's, It says, and when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. And on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away, what? My sins. Then sings my soul. And we need to have that always going on in our lives. The thrill, because I'm claimed by Jesus. All these other people were saved, but in verse 8, you know, this supernatural gospel saved me. Don't ever get over it. Because if it starts getting old hat, you'll lose the thrill and all of the accomplishment for God, all the dreaming for God, all of God, do this. God, I would do this. We had a youth pastor years ago that had some big dreams. He was wanting to start an international, national youth. He had the ability, but somewhere in the way, he's lost the thrill, and he's not doing it today. My secretary, Heidi, called him up and said, I thought you was going to do something big for God. And there was silence on the other end. He's lost the thrill. Don't lose the thrill. Don't lose the wonder of your salvation. Secondly, we need to remember that he was called in verse 9. In verse 9, look at it. And it says, I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not meet to be called. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. We're claimed by God. Secondly, the reason we sacrifice everything is we're called by God. And I want you to realize that you being at ABC, you're called by God. This is God's will and your will are just colliding together. And this is where you're supposed to be. And you're called by God. And this is wonderful. The privilege you have of being here. I was a second generation. My son was a third generation. My mom is buried here. Her dust is spread over the ground. She loved this place. And you have a privilege of being called to be a student here. And you need to never take that lightly. And it's just wonderful that it is me being here and I get to have this. And I need to be humbled by this. I need to be confident. Some of you don't have the personality of confidence. I didn't have much personality to be confident. I just figured out that God, if He's who He says He is, and He's done to me what He said He's done to me, I should believe it and act upon it. And our world needs humble people. Oh man, humble. I don't deserve this. But then once you realize it's God in me, then be confident and be empowered to reach people. And you realize, boy, I'm not sure what I'm doing, but here we go. Do you know if you open your mouth in the power of the Spirit, He will use you. Acts 1:8, is that right? He will empower you, but you got to open your mouth. Well, I'm not too good. He doesn't need you to be good. And to realize, I'm humbled by God. I'm confident in Him. And I am empowered by Him. you're here at ABC. You need to know the privilege of that. Just the privilege. The privilege. Wow. To catch that. I know you're in some classes, and sometimes the text of the class or the literature or the facts or the details, it gets kind of boring. My mom will never let me use that word. But you know, yeah. I want you to know the truths you are getting in your doctrine classes and in all your family living classes, I use as a pastor every day to help people. Huh? So whether we're in a day of everything has to be exciting, I want you to know the song we just sang, Then Sings My Soul, the third stanza, is exciting because it's the truth that sets you free. And I see teenagers change. I see families change. And it sets them free. And I tell a family, a husband to love his wife and a wife to love her husband. And it works. One wife was saying to me, Preacher, I'm going to leave my husband. He's a jerk and all that. I said, yeah, he's a jerk. I said, why don't you go home and love on him? Just bless him. She came back next Sunday and says, we're having the time of our life. I said, it works. It's just simple. And the truth, you have the responsibility, the privilege of sitting in classes and going on. I was in Joel's class this morning in the Pentateuch, and he gave all kinds of data, all kinds of the creation and all the image of God and all of that. I talk about that all the time because it's the image of God that draws people to Christ. They can't explain that I have a moral nature in me. I you know, all the people in Houston are just thousands of people helping everybody. Why are they doing that? Because the God of the universe is a moral God, and he stamped his image upon them. Even though they're fallen and they have the evil, they have a will to do right. Where'd they get that? From God. How do you explain that you have that? You know, if you as an animal doesn't, you know, if an animal steals an apple from a tree and a horse, is he stealing? No, he's just hungry. You know, it's a miracle. So you're called, you have a privilege. Maximize that privilege. I wasn't the best singer in the world. Lucky Shepherd, I took voice lessons from our music man. Where's the music people? Where's the voice teachers? Voice teacher, right here. I took voice from Lucky Shepherd when he was our voice man. And he said, Mike, he says, you have the worst voice I've ever heard. Me being a positive person, I said, thank you. I said, I won't kill you if you give me a C. Do you know, I'm not the world's best singer, but I lead singing on Thursday morning a cappella every week. I lead singing on Wednesday night with our church. I love music. I pick a lot of our songs. I love some of the new songs that are made to the old hymns. There's a lot of that coming on. And I want you to know, each of you have the privilege of being here, and you need to strengthen your weaknesses. You need to, if you're weak in English, take it with all your might. Is that right? Be the best you can be. God's not saying you have to be perfect in every point, but I think sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zones and try to minister to people. And what do you like to do? That's a spiritual gift question. What do you like to do? My goodness, things I've done, I haven't liked to do. I've had to do some wild things. And God just, do you know if you will attempt something for God, he will empower you? And you might not be the best. You might not be the best. Remember the Mr. Wagner that stuttered? He's a youth pastor. God used him miraculously. And sometimes we think that, wow, you've been called. And God's given you gifts, and you need to maximize your gifts, and you need to study hard, and you need to read hard, and you need to be creative. And if you're very good in the books but not good with people, you need to increase your people skills. Is that right? It's very important that you try to figure out your weaknesses and improve in them. I'm not the world's best organized person. If my study is clean, somebody says, did we get a new preacher? But I have learned to organize a lot of things. And I got people around me that organizes things. And we've got a lot done. And it's not my gift. I want you to know the ministry is wonderful. And you've been called by God. You are right here. You have this semester. Put everything you can in this semester. Don't gripe and complain. Don't start saying this. God's here. You get a chance to listen to these teachers tell you about God. And that should just bless you. And you realize this fact can either just be a page in a test that we take, or this can be something that I get to know God, I get to experience God, I get to hear from God, I get to get near to God, and dear to God, I can mirror God. It's wonderful because He's there, and it's just not a study. And know who you are in Christ. Know who God called you to be, and be with all your might that person. And you need to feel good about yourself in that area. That God's going to use me. I might not be the world's best speaker, but He's going to use me. My son graduated from here and he said, Dad, I'm just a back behind the scene person. I'll do the PowerPoint. I'll do other things behind the scenes. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need all those people. But you're being trained to serve God, and when you go back to your local church, did they think that you know how to speak and minister to people? Yes. Don't let them down. Do it. Oh, I'm scared to death. My son, I couldn't get him to preach. Son, you want to preach? No. You want to do this? No. You want to lead this group? No. Dad, I'm behind the scenes kind of guy. One day he was asked to speak at a church for filling in the pulpit. I said, hey, why don't you do it? Oh, I can't do that, Dad. I said, why don't you try? Okay. I said, it's Sunday night. Most of them are there, can't hear, and they'll probably fall asleep. He went, he came back, it changed his life. He said, Dad, God spoke through me. God spoke through me. And it changed his whole life. Now I can't shut him up. He's the children's pastor at Martinsburg, West Virginia, at Independent Bible Church with Dr. Mark Johnson. And he's children's pastor here. He leads a group of volunteers, 200 every Sunday. And does a great job. But you got to realize, why do I sacrifice my life? Because I've been claimed by Jesus, and He's forgave me, and I should just be thrilled and wonder in it all, never get you over it. And then secondly, I've been called by Jesus. I should be humbled. I should be confident. I should be empowered. And lastly, Paul said in verse 10 that I'm committed to Jesus. Now this is the most important one. Look at it, verse 10. But by the grace of God, don't ever forget that part, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon, what's the word? Each of you need to believe that. You need to believe that you've been claimed by Jesus. You've been called by Jesus. That's why you're here, to be trained. And that you should be more committed. And Paul says, wow. He says, but this grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. You know, Jesus called me. He claimed me. He saved me. It says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Do you know Apostle Paul by himself reached his world for Christ? Huh? By himself. Did he do a lot of effort? Was there effort? You know, he got shipwrecked. He didn't have airplanes. He didn't have cars. He didn't have, you know, he did it with slow boats. And I want you to know, you need to be committed. You need to realize, I'm committed to God. You know, why do I accomplish great things for God? Why do I sacrifice? Why do I self-denial? Why do I lose to win for Jesus? Why do I sacrifice everything on this earth to win for heaven? It's because that I'm committed to Him, because He called me and He claimed me, and I'm going to go all out for Him. I'm going to be very focused. I need to be aggressive. Some people don't have that aggressiveness. I need to challenge you, start being aggressive. Well, I'm bashful. Well, there's no room for bashfulness. You might not be as aggressive as some other person, but you need to realize that person standing in front of you is lost, and you need to talk to them. And you need to realize, I've been claimed by Jesus. I've been called by Jesus. I'm committed to Him. I'm going to be focused. I'm not going to get distracted with all the activities of this world. Is there so much in our culture that distracts us? Huh? Oh, it does. Some of it's not bad. It's just not best. And you're focused. You're here to be trained to serve God in the next part of your life. And while you're here, you should be very active in that. Let me ask this. What did you do in your teen years to prepare yourself for being here? Ever thought about that? What did you do in your teen years? Did you study the Bible? Were you a student of the Bible, or did you wait to get here? I have another son that God called to be a pastor. He's a pastor of a community church in my town, and it's about 1,600. And he got called as a young man, and a preacher called him up and said, Tim, would you be my youth pastor? And my son turned to me and said, I always knew God was going to do this to me. And he said, now I'm going to have to start reading my Bible. Did you waste your teen years in studying the Bible? Were you involved in ministry? Did you preach any, teach any, do children's work, sing, choir, praise team, instruments? Do you know if you start playing an instrument, does it help you in your ministry next step? Yes, if you can get to do some music. That's why I took voice lessons. And the tech ministry back there. Every person that's been involved in our tech ministry has gone to Bible college. That's pretty cool. And you just, wow. And missions trips and children's outreach and VBS and caring and helping and discipling younger children. Now, what did you do in your teen years to prepare yourself for coming here to be at the next level? We just got a new youth pastor at my church that's going to take over in 3 years to be the pastor. I'm going to retire, and he's going to take over. He is 24 years old. You can say, well, he looks like he's 16, doesn't he? That boy can preach. That boy can lead. That boy knows how to care. That boy knows how to counsel. He did it with his dad growing up as a preacher's kid. And he is so far advanced at 24 than I was at 35. When you look at him, people say, he looks like he's 16. But then when he starts preaching, you say, he preaches like he's 40. He studied church history. He really studied doctrine. He just, I was telling him about something. I said, this is really cool. Have you read this? Yeah, I read that 3 years ago. I want you to know, you are preparing right now. Maybe you didn't do well in your teen years. That's why I'm saying, what are you going to do this semester for God? What commitment level are you going to get? Are you really going to say, I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to just settle down. I'm not going to coast. I'm not going to take the easy way. I'm going to spend my time. Is it easy to coast? Some of you can make straight A's, so you make B's and coast. Shame on you. Shame on you. Some of you can make B's and you make C's. Shame on you. Some of you, well, no, you are committed. And you are called. And you are claimed. That's why we sacrifice to get to a level that we can really work for God with effort and energy and enthusiasm and a heart for getting involved. To be prepared here. To read and to study and to try to think through things. You might forget them after you read them and study them, but you're really into it and focused. And then energy and creativity. Well, I'm not too good of a creativity person. Well, get around a creative person and learn something. Huh? I had Derek Matsunaga. Remember Matsunaga? Matsunaga was an A student. I was a B student. Okay. Now, he had brains. I had fun. Okay. And he wanted to be around me because I had fun, because he didn't have any fun. And I wanted to be around him. He helped me to study. And I gave him fun. Okay. Did he need fun? Yes. Yes. And did I? So if you're not good at something, get somebody. Time management, encouraging, preaching, singing, game leading. You that are in the camping area, y'all are greatly needed in the church and in all. Didn't know how to lead a game. Is that something you have to learn how to do? Yes. That's really neat to walk in and do that. My man walks in and he just did it first off. And I'm sitting, wow, where'd you learn all of that? And he just put in time. And enthusiasm. I suppose that's my gift, is enthusiasm. I got it from my mama. But if you don't get excited about something, it's not going to happen too much. If you believe something. They hear me preach and they say, preacher, you really believe what you said this morning? I said, yes, I do. And for people to follow you, do they have to believe that you believe what you're trying to do? There's got to be enthusiasm. Well, I'm not too enthusiastic. Well, start being. And the writing, to be a writer. I'm not much of a writer, but I've written so much. I was supposed to be an architect. I'm really good at that. But writing, I have to write and preach and teach, and I'm sitting there going, oh, wow. It overwhelms me. You know, I'm not good at memory. I ask God every time I'm standing at the end of church and a person's coming, and this person's behind that one, and I'm saying, God, I need to talk to that person. And I say, give me their name. Do you know he brings it to my remembrance? And I'm sitting there going, because I forgot it. Paul labored more abundantly than they all. Finish well. Don't be a statistic. Don't be a casualty. Stay the course. Don't quit. Never surrender. Never give up. Accomplish great tasks for God. That is so important that you grasp that. Dream big. Go for God with all the goals you have. Get out of your comfort zones. Let God do something through you to accomplish something this semester, next summer, in 10 years, because you're claimed by God, you're called by God, and you need to be committed more and more to God every day, to be focused, to be aggressive, and to be determined. I labored more abundantly than they all. Can you say that?